Thanks for joining me on today's Family Experience, helping your family connect in a world that's pulling families apart. I hope you've enjoyed these short format podcasts that we've been bringing you. It's been fun to get as much content in as possible. My name is Chuck Hagley. I'm the executive director of Project Patch and also the person that's going to be bringing you these podcasts, and hope to actually invite some more of our staff in so you get to know a lot of the people that work here at Project Patch, also part of the Family Experience. We're doing a number of things now. You've known us for years as the people that bring you help for troubled teens, boys and girls that are blowing up their lives, spend a year at our youth ranch in the mountains of Idaho. And it's been amazing to see how God's used that place over the years to really transform kids. Amazing team of people, staff that make it possible, donors that fund that program, and thrilled to continue doing that work. Last couple of years, we brought to you the brand new program called The Family Experience. It's a place that we've developed in Goldendale, Washington. What we recognize is that families are being stretched apart, being pulled apart. This world is not a hospitable and kind place for families. And what we've recognized also is that God has a plan for families that is amazing. And that plan really does involve making us as parents better people and making kids stronger. And it's the ideal place to raise kids in. So Project Patch has recognized for years now that families really do need strength and they need help with that. And so what we've done is that we've built a resort, beautiful place up there in Goldendale, Washington, 500 acres. And it's just an amazing place where families can come spend a weekend with us and other families being coached through a process of experiential learning, some classroom time, some amazing meals, some really comfortable surroundings. But most of all, it's the glue that helps pull families together. And so we've seen families do some amazing things. And so what this podcast brings you is 30 years of working with troubled teens and years of working with families. And we're trying to combine that together in a way that really is helpful for you. The other things that we've been doing is I've been teaching a lot of seminars, some of the time with staff from Project Patch, but really getting out there into the churches and sharing as much as possible that God's got a plan for families. And so I hope you've been encouraged by those things as you've connected with it. So today's episode is going to be a little bit of a departure from those 1 minute things that you've been hearing. The plan of it is just to give you as much information in a quick format that you as a busy parent can apply in that day and really make a difference. But we're also going to bring you some longer episodes. And so today's episode is an interview with a friend of mine, Sean Anderson, Dr. Sean Anderson. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. The goal behind these interviews is really to connect you with people that are making a difference for families out there. And Sean is doing that with blended families and with fathers. He's a professional life coach. He's a fatherhood coach. He's adjunct faculty at Warner Pacific University. He holds a PhD in organizational leadership from Pepperdine University. He's written a fantastic book called Living Dangerously, The 7 Keys to Intentional Discipleship. And that really focuses on the research that he did on how to effectively lead others. He teaches and coaches fathers with Northwest Marriage Institute, which is a kind of a Portland-based ministry that reaches out to fathers. They have a grant that's making a big difference for the fathers out here. And so they spend a day with the dads. We'll hear about it in our interview, and you'll see a link for it in your show notes. But it's one of those ministries out there that is reaching out to the world around them and making a huge difference for dads. And it's a lot of fun. Project Patch has been a part of it with our Family Experience, having a booth there, and we really encourage people to attend. Sean and his wife, Lisa, have been leading weekends for us at the Family Experience for the last year, and so that's one of the ways that some of you may have gotten to know Sean and Lisa. He's a dad, he's a husband who speaks regularly about blended families, not just based on his research, but Lisa and Sean blended their families 8 years ago, and they've got a lot of learning that's taken place from that. And so I'm excited to bring you our interview that I had with Sean, and look forward to connecting with you more. Sean, it's great to have you with us today, talking to families about what it's like to raise a blended family, what it's like to have a new person on your team, what it's like to have kids of yours and both, and all the challenge that it entails. And so glad to have you with us today.
Good to be here, Chuck.
You know, the first time I heard you speak, it really surprised me, because a lot of times when people talk about blended families, they go immediately to the difficulties of it. You know, they talk about how hard it is, all the negatives around it, but you struck me that you started when you spoke, especially at the fatherhood workshop put on by Northwest Marriage Institute, you went directly into what are the benefits that come from blended families. Why do you start with that approach?
Well, thanks. Yeah, I start with that because you're right. A lot of times when people look at blended families or they see themselves in a blended family, they immediately think of all the negative things that, that might happen. And I want them to think of the positive things because there are a lot of positive things. You know, you've been single. If you've been a single parent, single mom or dad for a while, and that's a tough job because you have to be both mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And for the kids, then it gives them another adult in the household. And it's good for the parents because they can bounce ideas off each other and they can parent together and not feel like they're all alone in it. So I see a lot of positives. I like people to see it that way.
And so many times I think us as parents get to that point that we're feeling a lot of guilt. And that really works against blended families, doesn't it? In the fact that they're overwhelmed and then culturally people don't expect much from them. And so focusing on the positives really does give them some motivation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of the great impacts you've seen from blended families? How have you seen it matter to the kids that, that maybe didn't have a dad or a girl that didn't have a mom around? How have you seen that, that really play out in positive ways?
Well, lots of ways. I could give you some good examples of that. It gives kids those opportunities to have the male influence if they haven't had a dad in their lives, and gives girls that opportunity to have a female role model that they can look up to. And it's good for both of those genders, to both kids to look at parents as their role models, you know, someone to emulate, someone to show them what it means to be a man, someone that shows them what it means to be a woman. And so those are some of the real positive things.
Yeah. And then really the challenges of it, as you've done your research, both as a dad that's been in the situation, as you've taught about it as a coach and done a lot of work around this, what are some of the trends that you see? How common is this for there to be blended families?
It's very common. At our seminars that we do, I ask for a show of hands, how many people are in a second or third marriage or in a blended family of some kind. And it's usually from 40 to 50% of the hands that go up. And we have a wide variety of people that come to our seminars. And that's always the case, it seems to be. And so 43% of marriages, just to throw out a stat, are in a second or third marriage nationwide. So that fits around what we've been seeing in Vancouver and Portland area. And the unfortunate thing is that 70% of remarriages that involve children don't make it past 5.5 years.
Wow. Why is that?
Because it's very, very difficult. And you know, being a parent and in a nuclear family where you have the same biological mother and father is difficult enough. But when you add in different backgrounds, different parenting styles, you know, different genders, different ages of children that you're not used to, then it really puts a strain on the relationship in the family between the parent and the child, and also on the marriage. It can have a big strain on it.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of dynamics working in that family, a lot of stressors, both kids and parents. And so as you got into this, I imagine you and Lisa have been married now for how many years now?
A little over 8 years.
And so what did you expect when you started, and how has your experience been really surprising as you've gone through, and how's it maybe lived up to the expectations of how hard it is, and maybe some areas that you've been surprised by it?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. We went into it, I think, with very lofty, thoughts and dreams of what it would be like to be blended. We were both single parents, had been for 4 or 5 years, and you know, it's frankly a lot of work. And so we thought, okay, we're going to get some relief here.
Mm-hmm.
There was some relief. I think one of the surprises that came up was in the area of discipline, because my wife, Lisa, is not really a disciplinarian. And she thought, okay, I'm going to marry a guy. He's going to take over. I can relax a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The first time that I said something to one of the kids, they kind of looked at me and said, well, you're not my dad. Who are you, you know, to tell me what to do? So we had to kind of go back to the drawing board and figure out, okay, what exactly is my authority? What can I do? What will they accept? And so one of the key things that I talk about in my seminar is that the bio parent, at least in the beginning, needs to be the primary disciplinarian, and let the step parent kind of take a back seat to develop relationships with the children, to focus on being the friend and those kinds of things. So that's something that we've learned.
Yeah, and I'd like to develop that in just a minute a little bit more, but I want to take a little detour before we get that far into it, is that in a sense, you have expectations, this is going to be this way, and some of it's a fantasy and some of it might be a fear-driven thing. But as you entered this into as a couple, you realize that wow, this is different than the TV shows portray it.
Yeah.
In probably good ways and bad ways.
Mm-hmm.
And what has created that resolve for you as a couple to be able to handle that, in a sense that I imagine that there is, like, you know, several primary challenges on that couple and their marriage that really intensifies things. How have you been able to identify those challenges and really overcome them?
One thing that is very helpful, and I'll give you a few things here, but the first thing I think is very helpful to always remember is to expect goodwill of each other. And I don't think that can be overstated at all. And so for an example of that is someone that thinks that is questioning motivations. This comes into play in blended families a lot because of maybe broken trust in a previous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the baggage that we bring into that, you know, we may have worked on that, but we still have some baggage that we're working on from past relationships. We may not trust the opposite gender at all, but it's something we have to work through. So expecting goodwill, instead of questioning motivations, then it's expecting that they're going to have our best interests at stake and not question that. So, you know, if someone leaves a pair of socks in the room on their way to the laundry room and they've got their basket full of dirty clothes and, you know, the sock happens to fall out, you know, someone can come along behind them and say, you know, they're just a sloppy, messy person. And how could they do that? Well, maybe it was just a mistake and they didn't even notice it. But then if we don't expect goodwill, we can stir it all up in our minds and think, you know, they're doing this to get at me. They're trying to be a little sneaky in the way that they're handling things. And that may not be the case at all. So something that we've learned is really to expect goodwill and almost imagine putting on these glasses,
mm-hmm.
will glasses, so that we see the other person and that we know that they have a good heart.
Well, that's amazing to think about, because if someone came into the marriage from a situation of betrayal,
mm-hmm.
or they went through a prolonged divorce that really involved them having to defend themselves constantly,
mm-hmm.
that distrust, you know, is something that they had to really rely on because their trust was broken in so many ways. Making that transition from that situation into another relationship and being able to extend that goodwill, to assume the best, that takes purposefulness, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, you have to be cognizant of it all the time.
And our brains, what's amazing is most of us, our brains aren't that helpful. I mean, we teach at the Family Experience the process of the limbic brain and how that is so defensive, you know, and we react in ways that we're not even sure about at times. And we end up hurting the people around us, and we end up isolating ourselves and doing all sorts of things that are relationship damaging. because our brain is reacting before we can even get to that point of saying, you know, this person is different. I'm not with that other person that hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So making that transition. So really as a couple, it was that you guys determined and really acted out on that I am extending this person the benefit of the doubt. They are a good person and I'm treating them as a brand new person.
Yes.
Wow. So Sean, when it comes to the kids, I've noticed that these kids have the potential of having a lot of parents trying to parent them. You know, in the case of a blended family, if every person out of the divorce remarries again for both sides, we're talking a potential of 6 to 8 adults in their life. Mm-hmm. How does that really affect these kids? And what sort of confusion do you see it causing in their life in these sorts of situations?
You're right. It can be extremely uncomfortable for kids because they're getting mixed signals. You know, they'll have one set of rules in one household that maybe they live in most of the time, and then on the weekends they're in another household and there's a different set of rules, and maybe they'll go live with the grandparents. You know, there's all different sorts of ways that families can blend together now, and it's so confusing to the kids. So one of the challenges of being in a blended family is trying to negotiate those kinds of rules and boundaries that the kids have, and how do you deal with that? So what we do is we just say, well, this is the rule in our household. And, you know, because that's under your dad's jurisdiction, for example, but this is due here. And sometimes it takes, you know, the kids have to do a little shift too in their brains and think, okay, whose house am I at? But, and for younger kids, it's even more challenging because they don't understand, you know, it takes longer for them to adjust and forth. So yeah, it's difficult for kids, but the advantage that I see also is in the idea of co-parenting together. You know, the idea that the ideal is that all the parents involved, all the adults involved, whether it's grandparents or whoever, can be on the same page and has the child's best welfare at stake, so that the discussions are centered on the children and what's best for them.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is we work with teens at Project Patch, you know, both with our family experience and also with our youth ranch. And what I hear so many times from teens is this phrase, it's not fair. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. You know, and kids are so ripe at comparing themselves to something else, you know, trying to find that equality, and that's not fair. And the reality is that these kids in these homes are in situations that really does bring that front and center constantly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so as a parent, it really does take that time to coach them through that reality that this isn't fair, but we are doing the best in the situation that I can, you know, in the influence that I have. And so that really does take some maturity from these kids to be able to handle that situation.
It does. It does. And one thing that we've learned too about parenting together is never let the kids come between us.
Hmm.
So, and unfortunately, sometimes that is the situation where the kids are trying to move this wedge in between the parents because either of jealousy or they don't understand this new person, this part of the family. But for whatever reason, they're trying to sabotage this marriage. And so one way to work with that, one potential solution, if, for example, little Johnny's in trouble and you're trying to think of the consequence, instead of just saying, okay, well, here's what it is, and without conferring with the other parent, just tell Johnny, hey, we're going to go in this room, in our bedroom here, and we're going to talk about this, and we'll let you know what the consequence is.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in there, and, you know, you may have to battle that out. You may not have to. But you talk about it, you reach a decision together, and then you come out and you say to the child, this is what we have decided together. And so that way, he's seeing you as this unified front as parents working together in this. And it's not, you know, it's not my mom, it's not my dad, it's you working together.
Mm-hmm. And that probably is really key, because that phrase, in our home, you know, which really has to do with values, definitions, and expectations for the kids, for them to hear that from both of you connected, say, in our home, this is how we respond to each other. And this is how we respond to things we expect from you. And when you break those expectations, or when we hurt each other, this is how we handle it in our home. And so as a couple, unless you're together on that, it really easily becomes my house and your kids and that sort of discussion, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right.
So in that heat of the moment, especially if you're there, and I'm speaking from a dad's standpoint, is that I like to solve things quickly. You know, especially when I'm feeling disrespected, when the kids aren't responding as quickly as I want. And I want that quick response. I mean, I want them hopping to it. I want them doing the task, whether it's cleaning up or brushing teeth, or, I mean, I want that quickly. And so at that moment, for your spouse to be able to say, time out, let's go talk, let's get on board together. That isn't easy to do, but wow. The kids need to see that.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with delaying the consequences. In fact, you know, it can actually give the child some time to kind of think about some things and what he or she did wrong. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. And we teach about parenting with love and logic, and that whole philosophy is if you have to delay the consequences, mm-hmm. it, even if it's a day, you know. Because that will give you time to work together as parents and decide what the best thing to do is.
All right. So your first tip for parents is don't let the kids come between you. And really that emphasis that, especially when it comes to discipline or even when it comes to your relationship, is that you have to take that time in the heat of the moment, and probably even some really proactively scheduled time together, because your marriage is really going to require a lot of communication, a lot of insight, a lot of problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So another thing that you see as a real key tip for parenting in a blended family?
I would say another main key is just take time to get to know the children individually and together too. You know, God gave me three additional children, and he gave me girls for the first time. I didn't know anything about girls. I didn't know how to raise girls. I learned pretty quickly that you don't talk about their weight, and you don't talk about, you know, some of those things that are very personal to them, where guys, they talk about this, it's no problem at all. So some things are very embarrassing, other things are off limits, but getting to know them is key to understanding that. And so spending time with them, you know, going outside, playing games together, taking trips together, developing that rapport with the children, it is really good, especially, and I would encourage people that are starting blended families, that are bringing two families together, to really focus on having some of those times and even developing their own traditions. I think that's something else that goes with this, the idea of getting to know them. You know, there's nothing wrong with continuing old traditions that you had previously in another marriage, but also you can develop new traditions. One of the things that we enjoy doing so much is going to the coast together, and you know, it doesn't even have to cost a lot of money. You don't have to spend the night. You can browse in the shops. You can go out on the beach. You can be a day trip.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we have developed as a tradition that we like to do a few times a year.
So really as a blended family, having that time in which you're getting to know the your kids and Lisa was getting a chance to interact one-on-one and as a family. So you're both getting to know the individual and getting to know what this family feels like when we're together.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, with one of the things that I'm interested in, and you teach on it with both, the fatherhood workshop, and also as you coach our families at the Family Experiences, is that the personalities of each kid whether you're doing the DISC assessment or if you're doing the Ministry Insights assessment, our kids are so different.
Yes.
You know, and what was it like for kids to come into your home and suddenly your family outings are different because maybe you have some kid that's really people driven or maybe some kid that needs a lot more task and information and change slowly? How did you find that that really changed how you did activities?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does definitely have to be taken into consideration because it, you know, and that will come out as we spend time with the children and get to know them a little bit. Then we'll understand what makes them tick, you know, what works, what doesn't work. For example, my son, Justin, who is new to me for 8 years from Lisa's biological child. He's an extreme introvert. You know, he likes to be in his room a lot. He doesn't like a lot of social interaction. He likes to read a lot or watch TV or just do things by himself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's what makes the world go round. And, you know, that's how God created him. But we couldn't put him in a position where we're having a party and expecting him to be part of that for the entire time because he would get worn out in a half an hour. Mm-hmm. He needs his personal time and personal space. So that's an example of getting to know the different dynamics of each child and instead of forcing them to be part of what we're doing all the time, just realizing and understanding that they need some, well, Justin specifically needed some private time.
And really respecting that even though you might not be used to it is really a process. You said earlier that really the bio parent needs to be the main disciplinarian for their biological children, especially toward the start. Can you tell me more about that and how you discovered that as a family?
Yeah, I think I'd mentioned that their response was, "You're not my dad." And so mm-hmm. that was a key to understanding that. You know, and we tried it. I think a lot of it was just trial and error and realizing that it's just not going to work because they'll have bad attitudes toward me or toward Lisa. And so we can still be a support. And the main thing is to still work together as parents. You know, you can make decisions together collectively as parents. And when Lisa says something to the children and they don't respond to it, I can, you know, gently remind them to listen to their mother or, you know, to make sure that they're paying attention to what she's doing, what she's asking them to do. But, support is so very important, you know, to keep in mind. And something else that we've learned through that is that if it's just myself, and one of Lisa's children in the house and for example, they decide to get a little snack and I said, "Oh, we're going to eat dinner in a half an hour." And they say, "Well, Mom says that's okay. She said I could do that." So the way to handle that is just to go with it. And then you can ask the wife or the husband about it later. And, you know, either they get in trouble because she didn't tell them that or if it's fine, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. So instead of in that moment escalating it, mm-hmm. really identifying it. And my guess is that triangulation, that idea of pitting a parent against each other, manipulation, some of those things are things that really do have to be stomped out.
Yes. And it's so common in the families for that to happen. So yes, being aware of it and making sure that it doesn't happen, triangulation does not happen is such a key.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sean, this has been really helpful. I mean, just getting that perspective, I really appreciate you sharing behind the curtain of what it's been like for you as a dad to go through this, the challenges of it, and more than that, just the benefit that comes from it. One of the things that I'm interested in as you move forward is that you guys have in the sense now 8 years later, you have your home. Mm-hmm. This is our home. not yours and mine, but it's ours. And that really took a lot of work to get there. What encouragement can you give to parents that are maybe in that throes of starting this off? What would you tell them today that maybe could really set them up for being at that place that it is an R rather than yours and mine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's one thing that we did that was very intentional, is that she had her home, I had my home, and we decided to move in a place that was new to both of us. And I think that helped a lot. Another thing that helped is that when we refer to the children, we refer to them as ours, mm-hmm. whether we're talking about hers or mine, our biological children. When we go into a new place, we're meeting new people, I will say, this is my son, Brian, who is my biological child. I'll say, this is my son, Justin. And I won't explain that he's my stepchild. I'll just say, this is my son. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, this is my daughter, Adrian. Even though I've never had any biological daughters, now she's my daughter. This is the way it is now. So I think that really helps, too, is just emphasizing that we're all in this together, and there's no yours or mine.
Amazing. And what's amazing is our kids are perceptive to how we react with other adults. They're reading so much into those interactions. Sean, what are some ways that people can connect with you, ways that they can catch up with the things that you're doing, maybe be a part of some of the teaching that you're doing?
Well, we do free seminars with Northwest Marriage, and the website for that is northwestmarriage, all spelled out, .org. And they can look there for the seminars that are coming up. We have one coming up in this month in October, and then we have some in November and December also. But they can check out the website for all the information.
So those are free seminars for men, really focused on living out as really impactful husbands and fathers.
Yes, and we also have a parenting component to that, and we have a blended family component to that, too. So we run the gamut in one day. Everything's free, breakfast, lunch, babysitting, and you just for coming, you get a gift card to Fred Meyer. So you can't beat that deal.
No, you can't.
You can thank your congressman for the grant that we have.
Fantastic. Government money spent well. And now you're also coaching with us with our family experience.
Mm-hmm.
And... Yes. Both you and Lisa do that together. Tell me what that's been like to be coaching entire families as a couple.
You know, we really enjoy it. I think Lisa's just a natural for this. She works with special needs kids at a high school. And so I immediately thought, you know, we could do this together. And thankfully, it's been able to work out very well. But we just sort of take turns in the teaching, and then it brings in that female perspective for the wife or the mother that is there of the family that we're working with, and gives them that female perspective too. But it's worked out really well. It's an intensive weekend, as you know, and you know it's emotionally draining, but it's well worth it. And the families we've worked with have really reaped benefits as a result.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing. For people that want to follow you on Twitter, you're at Doc Sean. Is that correct?
Yeah, Doc Sean, DocShawn. Oh. And I also have a website that's DocShawn.com.
All right. And what I'll do is I'll put all those in our show notes so people can connect with you and continue this dialogue. Sean, I really appreciate your time. I wish you and your family all the best, and really love to see how God continues to use you as a leader for families. Wow, I hope you've enjoyed that interview with Sean. I certainly did. You know, as I spent time talking with Sean, it just really hit me how important it is for parents to be connected. And whether you're in a blended family or in a situation in which you're just a typical family, it's hard. The reality is that as a couple, it's easy to get stretched. It's easy to spend time being pulled apart. And so the idea that of understanding that your spouse is the person you need to connect with to make all this other stuff possible, that to understand that they're a well-intentioned good person and giving them that benefit of the doubt. And so fantastic information from Sean. That idea that we have to connect with our kids individually and create those family traditions, and that there's huge power in doing that. And so I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you, as a parent, whether you're in a blended family or just a typical family, that you took a lot away from that. We would like to support your learning. And so if you'd go to the our blog page, which is today.thefamilyexperience.org, you'll find all sorts of information on upcoming seminars. You'll find information on the family experience that we have at Goldendale, and ways that you can get involved with that. And you'll also find our typical podcast and our blogs and all of those things that we're doing right now to help you out with. We'd love your feedback. You know, if you've got comments, suggestions, please leave them there. And we'd love to get improvements done to our program and be able to give you what you need as a parent. Couple other things, if you could do us a favor, if you could subscribe to this on iTunes, it makes it possible for other people to find it. And the other thing is, if you could leave your review, it also is helpful for other people and gets us our visibility on iTunes. Other than that, if you could connect with us on Facebook, that'd be a huge favor. As a nonprofit, it's really hard to get the message out there in an affordable way. And so it'd be a great way to get people connected. And so just go onto Facebook and type in Project Patch and you'll find us there. Other than that, we've enjoyed serving you today. My name is Chuck Hagley. I'm the executive director of Project Patch. And as we continue to serve families, just really encourage you, go connect with your family. Make this one of those days in which you don't just let it pass, but a day in which you really make your life different and make your kids' life different by spending time together. Now go connect with your family. We can help at thefamilyexperience.org.